the next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast. Podcasting from the MyMac.com studios, it's your hosts, Tim Robertson and Chad Perry.
Hey everybody, I'm Tim Robertson.
And I'm Chad Perry.
We got a fun show for you today, I think.
Podcast number 69.
69 already. And we're going to take a little bit of a different approach to today's show.
Yeah, I think what we're going to do today is talk about
the podcast itself.
Exactly.
But we are going to have a special guest later in the show.
Yes, Krishna Sadasivam, the creator of the PC Weenies, is going to be on for an interview today.
I'm looking forward to that. Got a long history from MyMac.com and the PC Weenies going way back till 1998. So
wow.
I'm looking forward to talking to him and find out where the strip is going and where it's been and all that fun stuff.
Yep.
But to start out for the show, Chad and I have been talking, well, almost since we started the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And the focus today is really, we're going to get to a little bit of reader feedback, what's going on up at the site. But more importantly, what we want to talk about right now is where this podcast is going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, we've been doing pretty much the same type of show for what? For quite a long time.
Oh, I'd say we've been what? 13 months almost,
13
probably
months.
About 10 of those we've been using pretty much the same format.
Same format, and you know, and basically that format is we'll open the show, we'll say a few words, we'll jump into the latest news in the Mac universe.
Yep.
And then once that's over with, we usually go to Chris Siebold or Guy Searle's spots.
Mm-hmm.
We'll play a commercial here or there. We'll talk about the sponsors that are sponsoring the podcast.
Yep.
None of that is going to change as far as Chris Siebold.
Or Guy Searle on the Dashboard Minute.
And, of course, our sponsors. We definitely have to get that into the show.
Right.
But that's where Chad and I are kind of trying to figure out what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Quite honestly, as a weekly show, I don't know if the interests of the show is best served by going into the latest Macintosh news, or we should have a little bit different focus for the show.
Right.
And let me, you know, I'll be honest, I like doing the news simply for the fact, number one, I don't think we're really informing anybody. I think most of the news that we read, probably 99% of the people listening to the show already knew
right. That
news. You either got it from MacMinute.com, MacCentral.com,
Mac Observer,
MacNN, unofficial Apple website. There's just so many news sites out there to get information that, you know, by the time we record this, usually on a Wednesday, such as today, some of the news that we're talking about could already be 6 days old. So it's old news as far as most of you, the listeners, concerned. You could be sitting there thinking, well, I kind of already knew that, and it's,
mm-hmm.
Do we really need to, I don't really care about this because I've already made up my mind, or I've already read a lot of comments on this news story. And
right, and so all you're going to get is our spin on it, which maybe you aren't interested in. So
maybe for good reason.
Yeah.
But what reading the news allows Chad and I to do is to have different topics worth talking about. You know, it allows us to say, okay, we're going to talk about this latest Apple OS release update, mm-hmm. and we can talk about the problems that we've seen, and maybe that will be informative. So it's not necessarily the news that we're reporting on that's informative, but our take on it and possibly ramifications that you may not have thought about.
Right.
But I don't know if that's really in the best interest for this podcast.
Yeah.
Because, quite honestly, that's not what MyMac.com, we don't do the news at MyMac.com.
Mm-hmm, correct. And what we try to strive to do is bring you useful information on how to make your computing experience better, what kind of products are out there, what kind of products to pick up, what to avoid,
And that's one of the reasons that Chad and I really enjoy doing interviews is because we can talk to people for sites that maybe you didn't know about. For instance,
right.
Today we're going to talk to Krishna about the PC Weenies.
And last week we talked to Brian Lund from
Radical Breeze
Radical
software.
Breeze. Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to have more interviews on the show, simply because I think an audio interview in a podcast, you're really going to be able to go into details that you really don't in a written review
right.
or a written interview. And most interviews that you see online are email correspondence back and forth. There's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with that. You can, it really gives the interviewee time to answer the way they want to answer.
Right. I think what I like about the interviews is that I learn something, and it puts a voice at least behind the company.
Yeah, it humanizes
right.
a company. We do have a lot more interviews lined up, including mm-hmm. Getting some more of the MyMac staff aboard and doing interviews with them.
Yep.
But we're going to also interview a lot of different people, not necessarily Macintosh professionals, not necessarily mm-hmm. Other website producers, but people that use Macs possibly in a way that maybe you didn't think of, or you didn't know a Mac had anything to do with a certain project.
Yeah.
There is, you know, Macs are everywhere, and I would really like to find out the different uses people are putting them to.
Mm-hmm.
And the different ways they're using the software that we use every day in totally unique and different ways.
Yep.
I think that's what's interesting.
Or even the way they're using small what am I looking for?
I don't know.
Vendor applications that we may not even have heard about.
Exactly. And I think that would probably, you know, it's going to definitely be a refocus of the show. And it's going to be bringing more useful information to the listener rather than just us yak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, quite honestly, I listen to the podcast after we record it the day or two later, and I enjoy it, but I often wonder, am I enjoying this because it's me, or because it's an interesting show?
Or because it's me.
I'm listening to Chad again. And that's been a real concern of mine for
right.
for a while. So, you know, here's our question to you. Other than the interviews, what would you be interested in hearing on the podcast? I'm thinking about personally looking at more software mm-hmm. and more hardware products, not necessarily product reviews, although those are definitely in the works as well. But, you know, if we find something that we like, we find useful, or mm-hmm. conversely, that it's horrible, that we downloaded, we want to warn people away of.
Right.
I think that would probably be more useful to our listeners. There was questions of, well, maybe you guys should do some tech help type of stuff. And, you know, the problem with the tech help, unless you're actually talking to the person live that's having the problem, it's really hard to diagnose a problem.
Right.
And I just don't know if this show would be best served trying to diagnose people's problems with their computer.
And frankly, as a listener, I would hate to have you wait a week to get a response back from us.
Absolutely, yeah. If you listen to the show on Thursday and said, I've got this problem, and you email it, I can either email the answer back right then and then re-answer it on the podcast mm-hmm. the next one a week later, or make you wait until the show comes on and, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, if this was a live show, internet streamed, and people mm-hmm. could phone in, or we can chat with them live in a chat room, that would be different, and that would be useful, and that would definitely be something we'd look at. The other side of that is, while I could help people quite a bit with their Mac problems, I mean, that's mm-hmm. I was an information technology manager in a Mac shop for almost 5 years. In fact, before I came over here to record this podcast tonight, mm-hmm. I went to a client's house who has a dead iBook, and
right.
I'm going to see if I can fix that for him. So I still do a lot of consulting on the side. It's not even on the side. That's what I do.
Yeah.
So I could answer a lot of the questions. Chad, on the other hand, and this isn't anything against Chad, that's not his specialty.
Nope.
And I don't know if we would be best served for me sitting here answering questions and you just, you know.
Oh, that's interesting, there. Tim. That's fascinating.
Oh
that's great, Tim. That's great.
Great answer. You know, that's not the show I want to do.
Right.
So we're putting it out there to you guys to help us with some suggestions on what you would prefer to hear. And some people might think, but dude, it's your show. Don't ask me what you should do.
But you're the consumer of the show, and
you're
we
listening.
Want to give you a product you like.
If obviously you're listening to it right now, we want to make it, we want to tailor it to our average listener.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of our demographic goes really all over the board. We
right.
have 14-year-olds in New Zealand listening to us,
mm-hmm.
and we have 80-year-olds in Redmond, Washington listening to us.
Right.
And what's important for the 14-year-old isn't necessarily what's important or interesting to the 80-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really big demographic, but really what they have in common is the computer itself.
Yeah.
And the operating system, more specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to try to create a better show that better serves our listeners. As such, we'd like to get some free feedback from everybody that's listening to this. I know a lot of you are listening to it on your iPod, either in your car or jogging or at work, and you're thinking, well, you know, I don't really have time to email. We are asking if you do have a chance, you know, sit down at a computer, fire off an email to tim@mymac.com, and just give us some suggestions. What would you like to hear?
Yep.
As well as if you have something that you would like us to talk about, this is a really cool program, I think everybody should know about this,
mm-hmm.
let us know about that program. We can take a look and let other people know.
Yep.
You know? But that's really the question. That's what Chad and I was wanting to ask, because we just want to make the show better.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm rambling on now.
Well, and this is a conversation that comes up probably every week to 2 weeks.
Probably every couple weeks, Chad and I go, is this really what we want to be doing? Don't get me wrong, we love doing the podcast.
Right.
We are just unsure that...
Is this the format we want to continue to go with?
When I'm taking a drink, Chad,
yeah,
you
I know.
Have to
I keep
speak.
Talking. I was just about to take a drink myself.
I know, but I was there first.
Yeah.
The bottle was at my lips.
But that's really what we wrestle with, is bringing you a program that you find useful.
Yeah, you know, I sit there and think about it. Is this the type of show that our advertisers want to put their products on? Are they reaching the demographic that's best served by advertising with us?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, yeah, I think so.
Right.
But if we offered a more focused show where we're giving useful information, wouldn't that better serve our advertisers? Because we're mm-hmm. going to get more listeners that are going to greatly benefit for whatever the content happens to be.
Yep.
And then you're going to hear the sponsors that we have that has something to do with the content of our show.
Mm-hmm.
So
And hopefully you'll hear the... You know, the manufacturers of that software, piece of hardware, we can get them on for an interview to talk more in depth about the products that they offer.
Absolutely. So the Macintosh world encompasses so much. And I think for Chad and I to focus on basically the news that's not what MyMac.com is about. And I've said it mm-hmm. in the past for years, everybody, well, why don't you guys add news to your site? You know, you'd get a lot more traffic because then, you know, people are going to come back 4 or 5 times a day. Because what MyMac has always been about is original content.
Mm-hmm.
What you see at MyMac.com is our content.
Right.
Although I should preface that by saying that we are having some other content on our site at the moment. And that's newsletters from Small Dog Electronics
mm-hmm.
as our sponsor of not only the website but the podcast as well. They have a couple newsletter, and we're reprinting one of their newsletters.
Right, their Kibbles and Bites.
Yeah, and people may be saying, well, that's not original. Well, no, it's not, but you're not going to read it online anywhere because you have to subscribe to it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an added feature for our advertiser that we're getting their name out there a little bit more, but more importantly for the readers, those are really good newsletters. They're always chock full of useful information about
mm-hmm.
new products, and it's not always a hard sell either. They'll tell you about troubleshooting your Mac,
yep.
security on the Mac, really good articles that, taken by themselves, mm-hmm. I would post because they're really well-written and they're really informative.
Right.
As part of the newsletter, why not?
And the other thing that's worthwhile with the Kibbles and Bytes is that if you're looking for something unique for your iPod, they have their own line of iPod gear through Small Dog.
Yeah, so it's value added for our advertiser, but it's also value added, I think, to the reader because it's always really good information there. Speaking of sponsors, let's listen to an ad. I should say before we jump to the ad, though, that there will not be a Not Mac News or Dashboard Minute this week, and that's not the fault of Chris or Guy. And we'll get into why that's the case in just a minute.
Most websites are only there for you to buy something.
Buy, buy,
save,
buy.
Save, save, save.
At smalldog.com, well, they're happy if you buy something, but that's just half the story. Take a walk around smalldog.com and you'll find the inside scoop on Mac products and lots of helpful how-tos for beginners and experts alike. Digital photography and graphic design, music and sound, small business and more. From iTunes to inkjets, Apple to Ziff. Smalldog.com, so you can love your Mac more. High technology at low prices. Smalldog.com.
If you're a Mac user and you need a hosting service for your website, why would you want to host your site on anything else but a Macintosh? Anotech has been hosting the MyMac.com website for over 7 years, and we wouldn't have it any other way. Are they the cheapest web hosting company in the world? No. Do they offer the largest amount of server space of bandwidth in the world? Of course not. But with Anotech, you don't get pie-in-the-sky false promises, just the best customer service, the most popular hosting service plans, and everything running on the latest Apple Macintosh server gear. Check them out at www.inotech.com/mymac for special pricing. That's www.inotech.com/mymac. Inotech, the trusted web server of mymac.com for over 7 years. That's like 49 dog years.
Okay, so why isn't there a Dashboard Minute or a Not Mac News today?
A question which I'm sure you're going to answer for us, Tim Robertson.
Really, it's a strange problem, and excuse me, because of the time frame of coming over and recording the podcast and going to the client's house, like I talked about earlier, to pick up the dead iBook, I haven't had a chance to really get into what the problem is. Well, I know what the problem is. I just don't know what the solution is.
Right.
What happened was I pulled the hard drive out of my older G5, and I put it in a brand new G5, a dual processor 2.5 gigahertz machine.
Mm-hmm.
Architecturally, they're identical. The hard drives, pretty much the same thing.
Right.
Originally, what I tried to do was use the migration manager from the old G4 to the new G5. Old G5 to the new G5.
Right.
And it originally said, when I first started up, it said it's going to take like 4 hours. And I thought, well, I've got a whole lot of data on there. And,
right.
Okay, I'll just let it go. So I went about my business. I came back about 2 hours later, and it said it was going to take 24 hours. And I thought, ooh, something's not right.
Yeah.
But I'm going to let it go. Walked away. Came back. That was up to 36 hours. So I knew something goofy is going on at this point. So I canceled it. Didn't get a chance to go back. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I did it again. Same thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, okay. So I completely wiped the hard drive, started from scratch on the new machine.
Right.
Pulled the hard drive out of my old Mac and put it in the new machine. Mm-hmm. In other words, I swapped the hard drives.
Right.
Booted up the new machine with my old hard drive, and it worked fine.
Mm-hmm.
Or so I thought. Everything was going just dandy until it seemed to crash a couple times. And I thought, well, you know what? Something's weird. And I would reboot it, and then it wouldn't reboot all the way, and the fans would kick on. It was really loud. And another hard restart, and it would start up again. So I couldn't figure out what was going on. And this was pretty much yesterday. So I knew I was going to have to get in there and process. And I did. I ran Disk Warrior and a couple other programs, repaired permissions, started from another drive, repaired the permissions again, repaired the disk. Everything seemed to be okay. Nothing was glaringly wrong.
Right.
So earlier I'm doing a search for a certain email that I knew for a fact was there. I just got it a couple days ago, but because of the volume of email I get, rather than going to my saved email folder and scrolling down till I find it, I just do a quick search. And I did, and it didn't show up. And that got me a little curious, so I did a couple other searches, a couple search strings and some PDFs that I have, and it wasn't picking up hardly anything. I was getting maybe 25% return that I should have.
Right.
So I thought, okay, you know what? Something happened. It's not reading the index correctly. So I went and I deleted the index of that hard drive from Spotlight. Let's see. And I'll read you the instructions that I found, which is opening up the terminal, and running the following script. Sudo space m dutil space minus e backslash or forward slash, and that will delete the index for Spotlight on your main drive. And if there's it's another drive on there that you want to do it, you just after the forward slash you name the drive.
Right.
And it worked. And Spotlight immediately started generating re-indexing the hard drive, I should say. Mm-hmm. So I thought that's exactly what I wanted to re-index the entire hard drive so we'll find everything again.
Right.
I walked away a couple hours later, I went back and I noticed it seemed to be done. Instead of going right ahead and checking to see if it had done it correctly, I went and checked my email.
Mm-hmm.
And from within the mail program, I did a search, and it still didn't find that message.
Mm.
So I manually went and found it, saw it. I thought, okay, I got the information. Thought, I better just reboot my computer after it re-indexed. That's probably a good idea. I rebooted. It locked up.
Mm.
Rebooted again. It started all the way up. I launched mail, and it came up and said, your mail has not been indexed via Spotlight. Please quit mail and let Spotlight index it. I thought that's weird because it just got done indexing the entire hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to I quit mail, went to Spotlight, and it said it was reindexing it. Take about 2 hours. I came back about 10 minutes later, and it seemed like it was done already, mm-hmm. which didn't surprise me. It's 2.5 gigahertz dual processor. It shouldn't take long. Launched mail. It launched just fine, except when it relaunched it, this time it said importing your mail. And I thought, why is it importing the mail? I didn't export it. It was still there.
Mm-hmm.
And it said it would take about 4 minutes, and it did. And when it was done, all my emails exactly where it was, all the subfolders. In fact, the last time I had used my email, I had been in the sent mail folder.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it was done importing all the whatever email that I had to again, it still showed that I was in the sent mail. So I thought, well, okay, whatever that was, it seemed to be okay because it's exactly in the same state as it was when I left it.
Right.
I went back to the email, the inbox, hit get mail. Sure enough, some new email popped in. Those were fine.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is anytime someone sends me something that I haven't replied to, even if I've read it already, I click the button that says unread mm-hmm. in my email program in mail. And it marks it that I haven't read it yet. So I know at a quick glance exactly which emails that I need to go back and either respond to it, or in the case with the MyMac staff people, if they've sent me something that needs to be posted, I will see what it is. I just won't copy that email message or anything. I'll just leave it unread. So I always go to the bottom of my email window, and whatever next is down there to be posted, that's what I start editing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the case with Guy and Chris's Dashboard Minute, not Mac News. I just left it in my email, and when I'm going to edit it so I can bring it over and put it into the show, I just simply go to that email, and that's where the problem. I go to that email now, and it says anything that was unread in my email box all says, this message was not downloaded from the server. Please go online and download this message. And that really bites.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I haven't had a chance because it was 5 minutes later I had to leave and do everything else. So I haven't got back yet to see if I can save it.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to be able to. Mm. I think everything that was unread in my email box
just got blown away.
Is gone.
Yeah.
And that really, really irritates me. But I'm coming back to the fact that I pulled the hard drive out of one machine and put it in another one. And it seems to be really buggy now.
Mm.
And I'm thinking about, I'll give it to tonight, and I'll see what troubleshooting steps I can take tonight to try to rescue it and make sure everything's kosher again. If it's not, I'm going to have to re-swap the hard drives, go back to stock on both of them.
And then run the migration utility?
Yeah, and just let it run until it's done. Even if it takes 24 hours. I've got the laptop, so I can still get my email, and I can still do all my work. It's just going to take a lot longer because obviously I'm not on the big machine.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that's kind of a pain. I get a lot of correspondence via email. And it's a whole lot easier to read that email in an email client mm-hmm. rather than accessing my email through the web client,
yeah.
which is what I can do now.
That just seems long to me for data migration, though, because it didn't seem to take that long when I got my G5.
No, it didn't take even half that long. So I know something is wrong, and I'm pretty sure what's wrong is something on that old hard drive, on the old G4.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking something is either corrupt or something's out of order. I could probably cure it if I completely erase that drive and started from scratch. And, you know, everything is backed up. That's not
right.
The problem. It's just there's so much stuff that I'd have to do to start from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
It would take me literally 2 days to get everything back to normal.
Right.
And quite honestly, right now, I just don't have 2 days to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Although it looks like I might have to do that.
Mm.
Now, for those who are probably wondering, why did you get a new G5 at this point? Because you said, Tim, you know, you're just going to wait for the next
Intel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess I could go ahead and say what's going on about that.
Mm-hmm.
MyMac.com is getting a little bit too popular. We're getting way too much traffic on the site for the server that we're on. This is no fault at all of our service provider.
Right.
We've just always been on a shared server, which means that the computer that MyMac.com is being hosted from also hosts other websites.
Yep.
And that's been fine for years and years. However, it's getting to the point now with all the new traffic that we're getting.
We're starting to be space hogs on our shared server.
And it's not just space, it's resource.
Yeah.
Resources is really the big thing. If our website is taking up so much more resources of that server than the other ones, and we're hurting those other websites is performance-wise,
right.
That's a problem for our service provider, and I completely understand.
Mm-hmm.
So we needed to get our own server. We're still going to use the same service provider
yep.
that gets us online. It's just going to be our own server that we're going to be using. That's why I ordered the 2.5 gigahertz dual processor G4 from our sponsor.
G5.
Did I say G4?
Yeah.
You know why? Because my G4 is a dual processor 500.
Mm-hmm.
The new one is a dual processor 2.5 gigahertz.
Yeah. Right.
So it's that dual processor thing. I'm used to saying dual processor G4. We ordered the 2.5 gigahertz G5 dual processor from our sponsor, Small Dog Electronics.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of it going to our, as our server, because quite honestly, a web server doesn't need to have a dual processor.
Right.
I thought, Walt and Chad agreed, why not send them my 1.8 gigahertz G5, use that as the server, and I'll just use the dual processor because I could actually take advantage of a faster machine because, as not very many of our listeners know, I do video productions. That's what my job is now.
Yeah.
So a faster machine is really going to help me. And really, as a web server, what's the big difference between a 2.5 gigahertz G5 and a 1.8 gigahertz G5? Not really.
Yeah, nothing from the user's perspective.
So. No, and even from our service provider.
Right.
So I thought, yeah, I'll just send them my older machine. I'll keep the new one, and everything will be great. Well, it's not working out that way. I wanted to get the G5 shipped out this week, but with the problems I'm having right now, I simply can't have an unstable machine at home.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be next week before I get that machine shipped out as our server. But, you know, it's a nice problem to have. You're getting too popular.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a faster machine, and you have to get off this shared server simply because you're being a bandwidth hog, and our other websites aren't liking that.
Yeah.
And I understand that. It's not a problem.
It's only fair.
It was 1998. The Macintosh was still in dire straits. Steve Jobs was recently returned to Apple, and a new website started up, PC Weenies.
Yep, that was created by Krishna Sadasivam, and it was a one-frame internet cartoon.
And I, being Tim, happened to really, really like it. I don't remember originally whether I contacted Krishna or he contacted me, but it was in December of that year that MyMac magazine, MyMac.com, started running his cartoons on our site. And it lasted for almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so after all this time of doing the podcast and having Krishna in my buddy list in iChat, so every time I open up iChat, I saw his screen name there. I just haven't talked to him very much. I thought, you know what? We're doing these podcasts. Let's get more interesting people, as we talked about on the beginning of the show.
Yep.
And who better than the creator of the PC Weenies?
So here's our interview with Krishna Sadasivam. And we have our guest on the line, Krishna Sadasivam. Hey, Krishna, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Chad. How are you?
Excellent. Did Chad pronounce your last name correctly?
Yeah, he did. That's perfect. That's the first time I've ever heard someone say the name correctly.
And that's, first time. That's exactly why I asked Chad to say your last name instead of me, even though I've known you longer.
Great job, Chad.
Thank you. So this is the first time we've had you on the podcast. Is this the first podcast you've been on?
Yeah, this is, absolutely.
So we're breaking your virginity here, audio-wise.
That is correct. I'm the 35-year-old podcast virgin.
Wow.
I was there once. Actually, I was the 34-year-old. Then I was the 35-year-old.
Yeah. Well, you weren't a virgin by that time.
Well,
so,
I'm 33, but 35 sounds better.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does, actually. Now that I'm 36, 35 sounds much better. PC Weenies. It's been going on for a long time, and how is the PC Weenies still being published today?
It's still being published online. I've had some print options. I plan on making a PC Weenies book later this year. Primarily it's online, though.
Now, you started in 1998, correct?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, I was reading the facts on your website, and it actually came to you. I think it said October 14th, 1998, and this epiphany happened in the shower.
Yep, like all good epiphanies do, I suppose.
What is the history, what is the origin of the PC Weenies and this technology-driven geek family, if you think that's a correct term? That's how I always kind of looked at it.
Yeah.
I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, the idea came about primarily due to the fact that I'm an electrical engineer. Hung around a lot of geeks when I was in school. Worked as a ASIC design engineer for a graphics card company that's no longer in business. And, I just wanted to do something different. I've always been drawing since I was a kid. And I decided to go ahead and marry the two. My love of all things geek, and my cartooning fetish, and thus was born the PC Weenies.
Now, when it started out, there was really pretty much three main characters, correct?
Yep. Milton, Bob, and Pam.
Now, how many main characters do you figure you have now? Has it grown significantly?
Well, in terms of recurring characters, There's Grandpa, there's Sonia, the little baby, who I introduced about 2 years into the strip. Robo, the robotic dog, kind of the Ibo equivalent, as well as Bob and Pam. And Grandpa. I should add that Grandpa was actually added in later on.
It's amazing that the evolution of this comic has just been, it's been fun to watch, and... You know, when I said, how is this still being published, if you started in 98 and it's now 2006,
right.
That's almost 8 years that you've been publishing this.
Yeah, pretty scary, huh?
Do you find that it's more difficult today to find new subjects to write about, or do you think it's kind of easier since you've been doing it as long as you have?
I think it's actually kind of easier now. I think it's just because now I know what to look for. I've always enjoyed reading technical articles and so forth on the web. And that's always something that I've been doing. And now I just jot down my ideas on a daily basis. And, it's really not that bad right now. And the fact that I've already done over 800 cartoons in the past, that's given me confidence to go ahead and say that, hey, I can do it again.
800 is, that's an amazing number. I mean... Wow.
Yeah.
That's very impressive.
You've got a really great artwork style as far as just the way your characters are created and the way they look. I'm just wondering, where did you get your inspiration from as a kid?
When I was a kid, I used to watch a lot of cartoons. I was grew up on a bunch of Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner cartoons. Primarily, that was my biggest influence. After that point, I gravitated towards Marvel Comics.
Mm-hmm.
In the mid-80s, and I started to get fascinated with that. And since then, you know, I mean, I've just been, you know, absorbing as many resources as possible.
A lot of different influences then?
Mm-hmm. I'd say cartoons and Marvel Comics have been my biggest influences.
I've noticed nobody else really has the quite the same style that you do in your drawings. I mean, when I see APC Weenies, I know you use a lot of primary colors, but it's very unique. I don't think I've ever seen anybody else's artwork that quite looks the same. And I think today, as much artwork is out there, that's saying something, yeah. That your stuff is very unique.
Thank you. Styles just tend to develop over time. And when I first started the PC Weenies, it was all digital. I had just purchased a Wacom tablet. I had just purchased Photoshop. And essentially taught myself the hard way on how to go ahead and draw digitally. And now what I do is I scan my drawings in from a sketchbook and, ink and color digitally.
What programs are you using to do all that in now?
I'm using Corel Painter to digitally ink and Photoshop for everything else. And good old-fashioned pencil and paper for the initial sketch concept.
Mm. Sweet. It doesn't sound like it's the most, it doesn't sound like a real fast process. How long does it usually take you to crank out one of these?
Typically, it really depends upon the idea. Sometimes I'll end up coming up with, the germ of an idea, and I'll go ahead and just start sketching, and then the caption will come after the fact. Other times when I've got a caption right away, it takes about 2 hours from start to finish.
Wow, that's not a lot of time, really.
No.
That's amazing.
I wake up at 4 o'clock every morning.
Yeah, I noticed that in some of our email correspondence.
Yeah, that's the only time that I have to really clearly think. I'm also working on my thesis for my MFA, and I'm working 40 hours a week as a sysadmin. As a Mac sysadmin, so between all that, I have to make time to do this cartoon.
Now I've noticed most of your strips are one picture rather than a progression like two or three different
cells.
Is that on purpose or is that just the way it comes organically to you?
Initially when the tune started out, it was something that I envisioned as a sequential type of story, a narrative type of thing, but I don't know. I think the whole Gary Larson influence kind of got to me. I figured that he could push that one panel so far that I just wanted, it was a challenge for me, to try to do something within one panel. And the beauty of it is the fact that I could actually, take my characters and put them in any situation. I'm not limited to continuity. So it is a challenge, and I think there's still a lot of life left to the one-panel comic. And I don't know. I think, long-term what I want to do is I want to actually make a narrative comic. Once I graduate, I definitely have plans on doing that. But for right now, hey, one panel, if it isn't broken, keep doing it, right?
Yeah. I just think that's a lot more challenging to do the single panel because you have to deliver the entire punchline in one shot. I mean, the entire joke and punchline have to be there at the same time,
right.
To me would seem a lot more challenging than being able to develop something even over like three frames. So
it's tough, and there have been people that have criticized the whole one panel effort, saying that there's not any real life in one panel comics, but I totally disagree with that.
Now,
there's plenty of life left to it.
Yep.
Now, where did the title come from, PC Weenies? I know I've read that it kind of started out as a pro-Mac, anti-PC thing, but you grew out of that really quickly.
Yeah, actually, it did start out with the whole Mac versus PC thing. The company that I worked for was primarily PC, and back in the days of before Steve Jobs, back in 1997, Macs were kind of... you know, if you say you had a Mac, you were pretty much considered like the leper in the computer community. And I got fed up with that because I was the lone Mac user in our company. And I felt the platform was just far superior to what was being offered on the PC at the time. And that's why I decided to go ahead and use the PC weenies. Now, after that point, I decided that, you know, over the course of the years, I've kind of toned down the anti-Microsoft, you know, attitude towards a comic. But it's still in there if you look.
Now, if someone is just starting out creating their own web-based comics, and they want to get at the very least as successful as you, which is going to take them a long time to do, obviously, what kind of advice would you give them?
Advice.
or how about warnings?
Well, my biggest advice is do it if you love it. You've really got to love it. It takes a special level of commitment, craziness, you know, all sorts of factors that come into play. I mean, you really have to love to draw. And I think that's something that just comes from within. And if you're not good at drawing, practice. I mean, I'm living proof that, you know, you can start from ground zero and work your way up. You know, everyone has to start somewhere. And I still feel like I've got a long way to go. But, you know, it takes time. But I think that you'll be rewarded when you put the dedication into it.
Where else can they find the PC Weenies? Is it just published online, or is it any other sites now?
A few sporadic sites carry it. It's in the Tau Beta Pi Bent magazine as a published comic. In the past, it's been within the pages of EE Times, the largest EE magazine. It was on CNET briefly. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to be able to get another computer magazine, like maybe Information Week, but I'm not going to go ahead and, you know, tie myself to that little dream. What I'd like to do is just continue to explore the self-publishing aspect. I do a lot of freelance work. The PC Weenies have afforded me very nice opportunities to go ahead and work with others. For example, Derek Story, whom I met at last year's WWDC, I arranged to meet with him, and I did the graphics for his website, thedigitalstory.com.
Oh.
So little opportunities like that have come about as a result. And last year, with Hurricane Katrina, I worked with a bunch of web cartoonists. It was actually by Blank Label Comics to raise funds for Hurricane Katrina. My comic was in their book. And there were about 300 cartoonists that contributed to this. It was a huge effort. I was just lucky enough to be able to participate in that. But they raised over $30,000.
That's wow. Awesome.
That's great.
So it's kind of cool.
Now, you kind of briefly touched on possibly a bigger project post-MFA. Would that be some sort of like graphic novel, or what kind of project are you thinking of? Just so folks know what to expect from you.
Yeah, it won't be like a serious graphic novel. What I hope to do is introduce the universe that the PC Weenies live in, you know, add some ancillary characters in there. Always wanted to tell stories, but the thing is I just haven't been able to take the time to do it the right way.
Mm.
But over the years, I've, you know, jotted down notes for what I hope to incorporate into a sequential narrative comic. And I'd like to do that. I just want to graduate.
Yeah, understood.
Where how did you really get your start? I mean, once you got your comics out there, how did it get to be where you are today? Was there any special, I don't know, any big sites that took advantage and gave you advertising? Or I'm not trying to say anything about our site, by the way, but
Mac actually was very influential in getting my start. I really have to thank Tim for giving me the opportunity to do a few covers and contribute some cartoons to my Mac.
Yeah, I didn't mention that at all on the podcast, but the PC Weenies in December of 1998, just 2 months after you started, we were actually showing them at our site.
Yeah, I thought that was a really great opportunity, and I'd still like to be able to contribute to my Mac if I can.
we're out there.
Yeah.
But I mean, was there one thing that like happened that really made you think, okay, this is what I have to keep doing? Or is it simply a love of what you're doing that has kind of got you to this point? Because I mean, this is a lot of work. I mean, I can't imagine doing, well, let me back up. I've been doing mymac.com for 11 years now, so I can kind of understand. But to come up with something unique,
yeah,
like this all the time and funny and relevant to the times seems to me just a very daunting task.
It is, and there is a lot of madness to how the tune comes about. But I'm inspired to success. I really believe that if I really enjoy what I'm doing, people will come back for more. I'm already starting to reap some of the benefits of, you know, my hard work. People are signing up in droves to be part of the PC Winnie guest star service that I'm offering, which is going absolutely great since I introduced it back in January. I don't know. I mean, I just believe in success, and I know that I'm not going to stop until I get to that point. And for me, success is not necessarily being, you know, fabulously wealthy or, you know, Scott Adams great, because, I mean, although that would be awesome, success for me is, you know, publishing a book, being able to share my work the way that I'm doing right now, and to just have a very large audience that will follow the tune. I mean, it's absolutely great.
Are you looking at the possibility of self-publishing the book that people, you know, books on demand, so someone, if they ordered it, the book is printed right then? A Cafe Express type of thing, or are you going to go, or looking to go the more traditional route and finding a book publisher to actually do it for you and get it into the Barnes and Nobles and Amazon?
You know, that's a good question. It'd be great if I could find a publisher like that, but the reality is, I think that with self-publishing, I can have a lot more control over how my work appears in a book. And there's a few good options there. There's Lulu.com.
Yes.
And, you know, they do black and white. I'm hoping to find something that will do output in color, because I think that's really what's going to help the tune. So I don't know. I'm keeping my options open. If I get a publisher that's interested and if they have a very good deal, I don't see a problem. I'd also be interested in talking to someone who's, you know, anyone who's writing a technical book, because technical books by themselves are usually very dry. So I think a cartoon or two might help spice things up.
That's a great idea.
Absolutely. So you were talking about the walk-on roles.
Mm-hmm. The guest stars and the PC Weenies.
Yeah.
And we talked briefly before we actually started recording the interview about a possible contest.
Mm-hmm. So let's do it.
Let's do it. So we're going to have a contest. The winner is going to get, well, explain what the winner will get.
Well, normally I offer, as a service, the ability to walk on to a PC Weenies cartoon. And, typically, the reader gets a copy of the sketch. Actually, they get the original sketch signed, and they get a PDF of the colored version in high res that they can go ahead and print and frame if they wish.
Wow.
And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to offer one lucky contestant that's listening to this podcast the option to walk onto a PC Winnie's cartoon.
To enter the contest, all you have to do is send an email to contest@mymac.com and just put the name PC Weenies. What is that? Is that your cell phone?
Yeah.
Yes, Chad forgot to turn off his cell phone.
Put hey, PC... there can be a cartoon in that.
Yeah, there you go. Right in the middle of a podcast. And that's happened more than once, actually. And I don't mean Chad's phone. I mean, my phone has rang. And we've actually had people on the show that they called in at the wrong time, and we were recording the podcast, so they became part of the podcast.
Hey, that's great. Improvise.
That's right. That's what it's all about. So send an email to have the walk-on roll to
contest@mymac.com.
Yep. Just put PC Weenies in the subject line and put your name and address in the body of the message, and we will randomly select a winner. I think this is going to be really cool. Oh, look, yep. We have the winner. His name is Tim Robertson.
Hey, no. How about that? That was quick.
Yeah, my wife says that a lot, too. I don't know why. Well, thank you very much for coming on. I'm really looking forward to continuing to follow the PC Weenies. It's a great strip. And congratulations on your success, all the success you've had. And obviously, we want to wish you all the continued success in the world.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, guys. This is my first podcast, and I'm really happy to be here. And I want to thank you for putting me on the air.
Sure. And so if you want to learn more about the PC Weenies, obviously go to PCWeenies.org. It's a really funny site. I really enjoy it, and I appreciate that he came on and did the interview with us here on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks again, Krishna.
We've got a lot of new guests coming up. Some of them, you may be surprised that they would actually consent to being on our podcast.
Or even acknowledging that they know us. So.
That's, well, yeah, that goes without saying. But, you know, I can't wait. I wish I could share right now some of the big-name companies that are going to be on the show mm-hmm. and some of the big names themselves. Because right. I'm trying to eject a CD over here out of my laptop, and it wasn't working. So to wrap up the show today, I did want to get into a little bit of the reader feedback that we got from either the last show or a couple shows ago. That probably made a big noise
yep.
when I sat that down right next to the microphone. The first one is from Tom Schmidt. Let me click it and wait for it to open here. On the podcast, go ahead, you can read it.
Yep. Tom Schmidt writes, on the podcast you erroneously stated that to subscribe to a photocast you had to have iPhoto 6 from Apple's iPhoto website.
And it says, he sent us a link that basically says that you do not have to have iPhoto 6 to subscribe to a website for photocasting.
Yep.
And he's correct. Any RSS compatible browser or RSS reader will allow you to subscribe to a photocast.
And thanks, Tom, for clearing us up on that.
And Tom also sent an email afterwards, and this comes from earlier in the show when I was talking about using iWeb and that I simply couldn't figure out how to look at the actual source code mm-hmm. from the HTML that I was making. And he says, iWeb doesn't have a way to view the source.
Mm.
And boy, you know, I understand from a user's perspective, for the average user of iWeb, there's really no need for them to look at the HTML source right. code. But as someone who does a lot of web work, I need to see that source code. If something isn't working correctly, I need to be able to get into the source code and correct it myself.
Yep.
So it doesn't allow you to do that with an iWeb. So we appreciate him letting us know that. The next email is from Paul Dossett.
Mm-hmm. And Paul writes, I use rewritable disks. Why? Because I hate the disposable society we live in these days, and the U.S. is the biggest culprit. Yeah, you can buy 50 CDs for $10 and then just throw them away, but what about the damage to the environment in making those CDs? Plastic plants are hugely toxic. What about the CDs you throw away? They don't just vanish, they end up in a landfill for thousands of years. Out of sight, out of mind, isn't a sustainable way to live.
And you know what? I'm not a huge environmentalist, but I think Paul has an excellent point.
Yes, he does.
And what he's referring to is our discussion last week of who uses rewritable CDs. And both Chad and I said, I don't use them, and we didn't know anybody who did.
Mm-hmm.
Paul obviously does. Why? Because it's environmentally friendly to use rewritable discs. And that pretty much goes for anything. If you can reuse something rather than filling up landfills,
mm-hmm.
that's a good thing. That's always positive. So you know what? I totally agree with them. That never even occurred to me.
Right.
That for the environment, maybe it is better to use rewritable CDs.
Yeah, that's a great point he makes.
I totally agree with him.
Yep.
And I wish I could say that I'm going to start using them, but honestly, I'm probably not. Then again, I don't use CDs all that often anymore.
Well, that was my point, too. How often do I actually use CDs, especially for transportable media? I have a flash drive, and it's a lot more efficient.
And if you're listening to music nowadays, you're either listening to the radio
or my iPod.
Or your iPod. So yeah. That's less resources we're using by not using CDs.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was burning a lot of my own recorded CDs for the last quite a few years now.
Right.
Really, since about 98, I've been creating my own CDs. And now with these portable music players, not necessarily just the iPod, but of course that's what we refer to here on this show because we're a show about Macs and mm-hmm. Apple. And Chad and I both have an iPod. Both of our wives have iPods. I personally own 3 iPods plus an iPod Shuffle. So that is, and I haven't thrown any of them away either. So that is much more environmentally friendly, at least in the short term. In the long term, iPods are probably more damaging to the environment when they start filling up landfills and CDs.
Right.
Possibly. I'm not sure. I would think so, though. It's got a lot more.
And there's a way to recycle them.
And there has to be.
Yeah.
Our sponsor, Small Dog Electronics, is really big into starting to recycle used technology.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrote about that on their website. And that's something that I think that all Mac users really do need to concern themselves with in the future, because we're using all these great new technologies. But unfortunately, I think we're going through them much faster than we ever did before.
Yes.
And that is starting to really cause some problems. What do you do? I saw an article, I believe it was at dig.com, about this landfill in India, and it was just full of computers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't stuff from that area. It was shipped there from the United States.
Yeah.
And it was all used old technology. I saw a picture. I saw like an old StyleWriter 2, mm-hmm. a laser printer. I saw a couple old Dells, a couple of Gateways. I mean, it was just, it was garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, it's not like they're going to disappear once they're buried.
Right.
They're not biodegradable. So we really do need to start looking at what we do with our old technologies and how we can either recycle them or safely dispose of them.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not a big environmental guy, but I live on this planet.
Yeah.
And my kids are going to live on it after I'm long gone and buried in the dirt next to my iPod. So, if you remember back when GarageBand first came out, Chad, mm-hmm. we ran a contest called the GarageBand Contest.
Yep.
Which we got in trouble for. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I didn't know we got in trouble for it, but I remember running the contest.
That's not my... It was called the GarageBand Contest, and it was sponsored by Otherworld Computing, MacSales.com. And the winner of the contest would get an OWC Neptune 120 gigabyte external firewire drive.
Uh-huh.
So it was really fabulous. This was back in February 2004. 2 years ago. Can you believe that was 2 years ago?
Mm.
Unbelievable. So 2 years ago, we had this contest with... GarageBand in mind. It was just released at Macworld Expo 2004. And what we did is we had a contest that made people create their own songs using nothing else but the loops mm-hmm. that came with GarageBand. And we knew if they did it or not because they had to actually send in the GarageBand file.
Yep.
We had just a huge number of people participating in this contest, including mm-hmm. A school.
Yep.
A class, if you remember that back then.
Yeah, I remember.
This teacher made a project for all the students in her class to make a song and submit it to the contest. Just fabulous. What a great teacher. What a great school system that uses technology in such a innovative way.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had this contest. We had 4 or 5 different MyMac.com staff members judge each song, rate it, and then we had a winner. And our winner was Jeff Maddox. And Jeff sent me an email. He was the winner, and he says that he didn't know if I would be interested to hear that what he's been doing, and of course I am. He's a contest winner from 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear stuff like this.
Sure.
And he said, I just thought I'd let you know that I started a local access TV art show in Orange County. And he posted it's posted up on the website. If you'd like to see it, go to... If I remember, I'll put these in the show notes, but I'm having a lot of computer problems at home.
Yeah.
I may forget. But it's web.mac.com/north/iweb/site/home. I'm going to have to just remember it. I'll put a link into the show. And he does the scores for the show, and he says, I do it all. And he just wanted to fill us in. I think that's really cool that, you know, people that's won stuff on our show, mm-hmm. and we're not on the show, but on the site.
On the site.
That they still keep in touch, and they let us know what they're doing with their Macs. And that's just great. That's the mm-hmm. kind of stuff I absolutely love to hear about. So if I remember, one of these days, I'm actually going to play his song on our podcast.
Sure.
And I think it'd be kind of, you know what? When we end the show today, we're actually going to play that.
Okay.
So we'll just, when we go out, we'll, in fact, let's do that right now. We're going to wrap up right at this point. We're at 59 minutes recording, and we still have a little bit of editing to do, but
yep.
Listen to the show next week. We're going to announce the winner of the PC Weenies contest. Mm-hmm. That ought to be fun. We'll have yet another... Did we already... is it nailed down who's going to be on the show next week? Or
not yet. I've got to email a couple folks and see who's available.
Yep. We'd absolutely love your feedback. Send it to mymacpodcast@gmail.com, or simply, it's easier to remember, tim@mymac.com.
Yep.
That's always people tend to use that one because it's just so much easier to remember, especially if you're listening to it in your car or on your headphones. You're not in front of a computer. So, and let us know what you'd like to hear on the show. If you know any special Mac people out there you think this person would really be interesting to hear about, hear from, hey, let us know. We'll get them on the show. It's a very rare person who will say, nah, I don't want to be interviewed.
Yeah.
People like it. Mm-hmm. If someone came to me and said, hey, would you like to be on our podcast? Heck yeah.
Yep.
Why not?
And hey, we like doing it, so.
Absolutely. Love to talk and find out what people are doing with their Macs. And we'll see you guys next week. Here's Jeff Maddox, Silent Breathing.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.